May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as we mark the end of the church year with the promised coming of Christ as King, we also conclude our foray into the Psalms with Psalm 132. Now, this psalm is set in the midst of our other lessons for today that point into some way in which it reveals some aspect of Christ's reign. In 2 Samuel, we get a glimpse of a record of one of David's own prophecies, which he underscores the everlasting nature of God's covenant with him to keep a ruler of his line on the throne of Israel. In the apocalyptic vision of the Revelation, we are greeted by St. John as well as Jesus himself with the promise of God's everlasting reign with our risen Lord at the head. And in John's Gospel, we read the encounter between Jesus and Pilate at our Savior's trial, in which he affirms that his kingdom is of heavenly origin. So Jesus Christ is the promised King as the fulfillment of God's covenant with David, the unending King who presides over the new heavens and the new earth, and the rescuing King, whose heavenly rule comes as a result of his most precious blood. All of this is pretty monumental stuff. So Psalm 132 has some pretty big shoes to fill when it comes to preparing our hearts to engage with these cosmic level realities about our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So how exactly does Psalm 132 open up to us to be ready for Jesus Christ to come as our King? Well, first it opens with a meditation on all that David went through in order to make sure that the true worship of God was reestablished at the very heart of his people in Jerusalem. David, of course, fought the Philistines to ensure the safety of his people, and he also fought the Jebusites in order to secure the city of Jerusalem. And he presided over the procession to bring the Ark of the Covenant, that most potent symbol of God's presence in Israel's cultural consciousness, ushering it to its resting place in Jerusalem, the city of shalom, of covenantal peace, security, and prosperity. In a similar fashion, Jesus secured our peace with God, who we once rebelled against in our sins, our security, free now from sin and death, and our prosperity in body and soul, with the down payment of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and the promise of resurrection and everlasting life. Our Lord did so through the blood of his most precious sacrifice on the cross, which the Revelation spells out and our gospel lesson sets the stage for. In remembering David, as our psalm admonishes, we are also looking forward to all that Jesus did to make our salvation a reality. Psalm 132 also gives us ample opportunity for rejoicing. We just got finished with Thanksgiving, but here we are, rejoicing now. The ark, we heard it was in Ephrathah. Now that, of course, is an amazing statement if you understand the history of what happened. This was the same ark that was stolen by the Philistines and then sent back after those enemies of God were afflicted with disease. It's not unlike when back in October, you may not have heard this story, but there was a church in New England that had been struck by lightning and had burned to the ground, and everything was totaled except for a painting of Jesus that went unscathed. As awful as it was for the Israelites to be sacked and pillaged by the Philistines, to have a beloved symbol of your faith survive all of that? Well, I can't imagine a more powerful way for dashed hopes to be resurrected. It's something to celebrate. It's something that inspires us with the gumption to ask God for more, to pray, no matter what sorrow or situation or setbacks that you may have faced. Just like when the psalmist asks, "For your servant David's sake, do not turn away from your anointed." When God does something to remind us of His presence in the midst of our darkest hour, we have every reason to rejoice with glad hearts and pray boldly. So, in addition to having us reflect on David's struggles and throwing a party over the return of the ark to Israel's center of worship, Psalm 132 also poetically reminds us of the covenantal promises of God with King David. It's actually a pretty clever way to reiterate a covenantal, a legal document, if you will, in the midst of a musical setting. In fact, how many of you remember the old Schoolhouse Rock things that they showed on TV on Saturday mornings? Well, we have the preamble now to the U.S. Constitution, which I have memorized because of that. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union. So there we go. So this text in the psalm, which is legally binding in heaven and on earth in the other context where it was first recorded, but here in the psalm it's presented in a way that's user-friendly as a reminder of God's promises and His people's obligations to obey God in order to secure those promises. In fact, this psalm conflates a few ideas from both throughout the Torah, the Old Testament law, the first five books, and the Ketuvim, the writings of which the historical books of the Old Testament are a part. God's original promise to David was that he would always, always have a descendant of his throne to rule on the throne of Israel. No conditions. But the psalm borrows a stipulation from the law of Moses that any future king of Israel needs to obey God's law in order to ensure that anyone of their line would continue to sit on the throne of Israel. Of course, you could say some other descendant of David could pick up and become king. True enough. But the psalmist's point actually isn't that subtle. Both the covenant with Moses and the covenant with David are in mind with the psalmist. The point is to hold that David's descendants are held to a high standard, that of the Torah, as well as to reinforce God's promise of an eternal throne inherited through the line of David. So what, Father Lenny? Who cares about the minutiae of Jewish law? Well, in short, our Heavenly Father does. In a brilliant stroke, Jesus is both a descendant of David and someone who is tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. So, this fulfills the deepest longings that are expressed by our psalmist. The psalmist was looking for someone who could represent both the bloodline of David as well as the heartline of David's devotion. He wanted to reinforce God's promise as something not just inherited technically, but earned through a righteous life. And Jesus of Nazareth, of course, fulfills both of these hopes in spades. God's covenants with Moses and David are honored in the life and actions of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Son of Man from Nazareth seals the deal that the psalmist sets up for in his hopes. Psalm 132 also gives our hearts a chance to see our Savior's reconciling sacrifice on the cross, as foreshadowed in David's struggles to firmly establish worship of the one true God. It gives us words by which we can rejoice over the reign of Christ, just as they rejoiced over the reign of David as he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. And it helps us remember those salient points of God's covenant with David, especially its everlastingness and its promise of a ruler from his line. Covenantal promises fulfilled by Christ Jesus, our King. On this feast of Christ the King, we should be amped up, fully appreciative of what both Christ and David did to secure our vital connection to God, stirred with ecstatic joy over how wonderful it is to freely worship our Lord through their efforts, and ready to embrace the role of Christ Jesus, who fulfills every covenant promise that's been made, whether through King David, or as recorded in the psalm, or frankly, as recorded by any of the other luminaries that we read about in the Old Testament. Are you genuinely excited and hopeful over the prospect of Jesus' return to bring his kingdom to its fullness? Are you joyful over the amazing transition that we will see of a world from sin, brokenness, and death to one of heartfelt obedience, a thriving new creation, and eternal resurrection life? I hope you are. As you reflect on Psalm 132 this week, my prayer is that you'll find the promise of Christ's return to rule over a new heavens and a new earth a genuine source of hope and excitement, because our Savior's rule is from a throne of everlasting love. Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you, that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.